ते वासुदेवाय। वो श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 17 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड मदर पार्वती कर्सस चित्रकेतु। So first I will read text number 25 and 26 and then we will recite text number 27. श्री शुक पश्यतो स्मयतोस्तयो। ट्रांसलेशन, श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी कंटिन्यूड, ओ किंग परीक्षित, सबड्यूर ऑफ द एनिमी, आफ्टर चित्रकेतु सैटिस्फाइड लॉर्ड शिवा एंड हिज वाइफ पार्वती, ही बोर्डेड हिज एरोप्लेन एंड लेफ्ट एज दे लुक्ड ऑन। व्हेन लॉर्ड शिवा एंड पार्वती सा दैट चित्रकेतु, ऑल्दो इन्फॉर्म्ड ऑफ द कर्स, was unafraid, they smiled, being fully astonished by his behavior. Tatastu Bhagavan Rudro Rudranim idam abravit devarshi daitya siddhanam parshadanam chashanvatam. Thereafter, in the presence of the great sage Narada, the demons, the inhabitants of Siddhaloka, and his personal associates, Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva, who is most powerful, spoke to his wife Parvati while they all listened. Shri Rudra Uvacha Drishtavat Asi Shushroni Harer Adbhuta Karmanaha Mahatmyam Vritya Vrityanam Nispruhana Mahatmanam. Shri Rudra Uvacha Drishtavat Asi Shushroni Harer Adbhuta Karmanaha Mahatmyam Vritya Vrityanam Nishpruhana Mahatmanam. Shri Rudra. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Lord Shiva said, "My dear beautiful Parvati, have you seen the greatness of the Vaishnavas? Being servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, they are great souls and are not interested in any kind of material happiness." Purport. Lord Shiva, the husband of Parvati, told his wife, "My dear Parvati, you are very beautiful in your bodily features. Certainly, you are glorious. But I do not think that you can compete with the beauty and glory of devotees who have become servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Of course, Lord Shiva smiled when he joked with his wife in that way, for others cannot speak like that. "The Supreme Lord," Shiva continued, "is always exalted in his activities, and here is another example of his wonderful influence upon King Chitraketu, his devotee. Just see, although you cursed the king, he was not at all afraid or sorry. Rather, he offered respect to you, called you mother, and accepted your curse, thinking himself faulty. He did not say anything in retaliation. This is the excellence of a devotee. By mildly tolerating your curse, he has certainly excelled the glory of your beauty and your power to curse him. I can impartially judge that this devotee, Chitraketu, has defeated you and your excellence simply by becoming a pure devotee of the Lord. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Taro Rapi Sahisnuna, just like a tree, a devotee can tolerate all kinds of curses and reversals in life. This is the excellence of a devotee." Indirectly, Lord Shiva forbade Parvati to commit the mistake of cursing a devotee like Chitraketu. He indicated that although she was powerful, the king, without showing any power, had excelled her power by his tolerance. Oh, the blessings of all the assembled devotees. I'll try to speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam. Although it is, this purport is very strong purport, I'm not qualified to speak on this in fact any verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, but the blessings, I'll try to speak something. There are six opulences of the Supreme Lord, which are beauty, knowledge, fame, renunciation, and strength, etc. So one of the opulences of the Supreme Lord is beauty. So when a person is beautiful, he attracts everyone in this world. We see, like, in this world, like, when you go to the hostels, etc., like, most of the students, they put up so many posters of beautiful men and women in their rooms because everyone is attracted by the beautiful persons. In fact, the advertisements, newspapers, they're also filled with beautiful actors and actresses. But if you see in the Vedic culture, those who are actors and actresses, those who will be doing dramas, etc., they were considered to be like Vaishyas and Shudras. But in the Kali Yuga, we see that like they are the biggest celebrities, most famous people in Kali Yuga. So beauty is an opulence which attracts everyone. But greater than beauty is Krishna consciousness. So that is why Lord Shiva says here that, my dear Parvati, you are very beautiful in your bodily features. Certainly you are glorious, but I do not think that you can compete with the beauty and glory of devotees who have become servants of the Supreme Lord. So we see that when Vritrasur, when he offered praise to the Supreme Lord in one of the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, he says that, Aham Hare Tava Padaika Molo Dasana Daso Bhavitasmi Bhuyaha. He says that, my desire is to become the servant of the servant of Supreme Lord. So there Prabhupada writes in the purport that this is the sum and substance of Krishna consciousness or devotional service. So when a person is in that consciousness, so it actually attracts the attention of everyone in this world. So there is a very nice instance in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where when Lord Krishna was departing from Hastinapur to go to Dwaraka, so the different persons were actually praising Lord Krishna. It is described that many Brahmanas were chanting Vedic hymns to glorify Lord Krishna. And then it is described, Anyonyam Asit Sanjalpa Uttama Shloka Chetasam Kauravendra Purastrinam Sarvashruti Manoharaha. It is described that, absorbed in thought of the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord, who is sung in choice poetry, Uttama Shloka, the ladies of the Hastinapur went to the rooftop of the palaces and then they began to talk amongst themselves about the Supreme Lord. And then it is described that the talks of the ladies were more attractive than the hymns, Vedic hymns chanted by the Brahmanas. So Prabhupada writes a wonderful purport. First he says that the language is immaterial, but the subject matter is important. He says that anything which is actually used in praise of the Supreme Lord, it is called a Shruti Mantra. And he says that we see there are great acharyas like Narottam Das Thakur. They have written simple songs in simple Bengali language in glorification of the Supreme Lord. But those songs were considered to be as good as Vedic hymns by even Vishna Chakravarti Thakur, who is one of the greatest Vaishnava scholars we can ever think of. And then Prabhupada says, Prabhupada gives reasons why the talks of the ladies were more attractive than the Vedic hymns chanted by the Brahmanas. The first reason is that the ladies were absorbed in the thought and activities of the Lord, and because of that, they had developed the consciousness of the Vedic wisdom by the grace of the Lord. So when one is actually Krishna conscious, then even a simple activity of a person, it actually attracts everyone. That's why we see many devotees, many Prabhupada disciples, they talk about some insignificant activities of Srila Prabhupada. So like they describe about how Prabhupada used to drink water, how he used to throw the orange seeds, etc. Because Prabhupada was completely Krishna conscious, even an apparently insignificant activity actually attracts everyone. Once Yashambati Nandan Prabhu, he recalls that when he first visited the ISKCON temple in Australia, Prabhupada was there in the temple, but he was not giving the lecture. There was another devotee, another sannyasi was giving the lecture. And then he felt, oh, this is so nice. Oh, this person is not projecting himself as a guru. In fact, he is even giving chance to his disciples to give class. That means he is not just projecting himself as a guru. So even although Prabhupada did not speak, but even though he was not speaking, but it affected the consciousness of Yashamati Nandan Prabhu. So if a person is Krishna conscious, although one may not be speaking, even apparent activity actually attracts others. Once Yogeshwar Prabhu, he was preaching in New York University. So in order to, for the preaching program, he was putting some advertisements. So he put some cartoons in some advertisement. So then Prabhupada later, he saw the cartoon and then he wrote letter to Yogeshwar Prabhu. Said that, I don't think you need to distract yourself for such cartoons. Our strength is our purity. And this kind of approach has made things less important than they really are. So don't go out of your way just to attract the public. So our strength is our purity. So like that Prabhupada said. And then the second reason which Prabhupada gives why the ladies of the talks of the ladies were more attractive, where the Vedic hymns in Upanishads are sometimes indirectly directed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the talks of the ladies were directly spoken of the Lord. So the Brahmanas who were chanting hymns from the Upanishads, they were indirect glorification of the Supreme Lord. But since the ladies of Hastinapura, they were directly talking of Lord Krishna, it was more attractive. So when Prataparudra Maharaj, when he first met the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when they first came to Jagannath Puri, they performed a huge sankirtan. So Prataparudra Maharaj was so much attracted by the sankirtan of the devotees, he was asking his personal associates, who are these devotees? I have never seen such devotees who are so happy and performing sankirtan. In fact, Orissa is famous for different groups coming and performing sankirtan. So Prataparudra Maharaj has seen different kirtan groups. But when he saw the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became very much attracted towards them. So sometimes, so Prabhupada says there that although even the personality like Prataparudra Maharaj, who is like a king, even he was attracted by the direct kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So once Yogeshwar Prabhu asked Prabhupada, what do you think about Bharatanatyam dance about Krishna and the gopis? So Prabhupada said, it is spiritually inspiring in the moment, but the difference between Bharatanatyam and the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is that the inspiration we derive from chanting Hare Krishna mantra is permanent. So when a person is directly Krishna conscious, it affects the heart of everyone. So then here it is described that being servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, they are great souls and are not interested in any kind of material happiness. So it is said one cannot approach the Krishna directly, but one has to approach Krishna through his devotees. So this point is very nicely described by Shukadeva Goswami in one of the verses in second canto, where Shukadeva Goswami says, Jivan Shavo Bhagavatangri Renum न जातु मर्त्यो बिलभेत यस्तु श्री विष्णुपद्या मनुजस्तु लस्य श्वशन शवो यस्तु न वेद गंधम. सो सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेज ए पर्सन हु हैज नॉट एट ऑल रिसीव्ड द डस्ट फ्रॉम द लोटस फीट ऑफ अ प्योर डिवोटी इज कंसिडर्ड टू बी अ डेड बॉडी एंड ए पर्सन हु हैज नेवर एक्सपीरियंस्ड द aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, he is also considered a dead body, although he may be breathing. So, Prabhupada quotes Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in his purport, and he says that a breathing dead body is called a ghost. When a person dies, but when he comes in the subtle body and he performs different activities, such a person is called a ghost. So ghosts always create a fearful situation for the common man. So similarly, the ghosts like non-devotees, they have no respect for the pure devotees and they have no respect for the Vishnu deities in the temple. And they always create a fearful situation for the devotees at all times. We see in the history of ISKCON also, like when Prabhupada was building the Radha Raspiyari temple in Juhu, Mr. N was creating so many troubles for Prabhupada that even Prabhupada had to literally fight to build the temple. And then Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, the first condition of devotional service is to be a servant of the pure devotee. And this condition is fulfilled by the statement, reception of the dust by the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who has served another pure devotee. So when Sambarish Prabhu was initiated, so Prabhupada told him to travel along with him. So he was there with Prabhupada in Africa. So that time Prabhupada was in Africa, there were many Indians were there. So Prabhupada was giving lectures in many Indians' houses. So he would speak in Hindi, but Ambarish Prabhu would not understand even a single word. But he would sit in the lecture. Suddenly in the middle of the lecture, Prabhupada would tell him, so here is Ambarish Prabhu. And he would signal Ambarish Prabhu, you please get up. And he would say that he is the great grandson of Henry Ford. And he would speak something in Hindi and then he would tell, now you sit down. So Ambarish Prabhu would not understand a single word from the lecture. But he says that just by assisting Srila Prabhupada in an insignificant way, by getting up and getting and then sitting down, it gave so much satisfaction. So then, in the same purport, Prabhupada quotes another verse from the fifth canto. When Maharaj Rahugun asked Jadabharat, how did you attain the stage of Paramahamsa? So that time, Jadabharat gives a wonderful answer. He says that, Rahugunaitat tapasana yati nacha jaya nirvapanat grihadva nachandasa naiva jalagni suryair vina mahatpada rajo bishekam. So Maharaj Jadabharat is answering Rahugun, O King Rahugun, that one cannot attain the stage of Paramahamsa without getting the dust from the lotus feet of a pure devotee. And in fact, he says that one cannot attain the stage of Paramahamsa by the Vedic worshipping process or by taking sannyas or by performing duties in the grihastha ashram, or even by chanting the Vedic hymns perfectly, or even by performing austerities in the middle of the water or in the midst of sun or surrounded by fire, etc. So only by getting dust from the lotus feet of a pure devotee, one can attain the stage of Paramahamsa. So once Pushkar Prabhu, he was one of the great painters in ISKCON, once he painted a picture of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada liked that painting very much. Even that painting is still there in Mayapur. So Prabhupada said, you just simply paint the whole Guru Parampara, then you will go back to Godhead. So simply by the mercy of pure devotees, one can actually get by serving the pure devotees and by hearing from the devotees, one can actually attain the perfection of life. So this fact of hearing from the pure devotees is described in another verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, where Sukadeva Goswami says, Ayur harati vai pumsam udyanastam cha yannasau tasyarte yakshano neeta uttama shloka vartaya. So Sukadeva Goswami says, with the rising and setting of the sun, the duration of a materialistic person's life is reduced. But a person who actually spends his time in hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord, he actually comes close to the he comes one step close to the spiritual world. So Prabhupada writes an interesting analogy in the purport. Prabhupada says that just like suppose when a person is sick, a doctor may administer a highly powerful antibiotic through intravenous injection. So the highly powerful antibiotic administered through intravenous injection, it acts at once very powerfully on the person. Similarly, when we hear from the mouth of a pure devotee, it acts at once in the consciousness of a conditioned soul. And it gives an instant transformation in the consciousness of a conditioned soul. And then he says, he quotes an analogy which is quoted by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that when a person actually gives, he says that charity should be given to a person who is actually suitably qualified. But if a person gives charity to an unqualified person, he will at least get that much amount in return in his next life. And then if a person gives charity to a half-qualified Brahmana, he will at least get double the amount in return in his next life. And then if a person gives charity to a qualified Brahmana, he is guaranteed to get hundreds and thousands of amount in return in his next life. And then he says that if a person gives charity to a Veda Paranga, who has realized the conclusions of the Vedas, he will get millions of times in return in his next life. So then Prabhupada says that a person is guaranteed to get that much amount in return irrespective of the amount he gives in charity in this life. Similarly, a moment passed in the association of the pure devotee hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord will have it gives guarantee for a person for going back to Godhead. So we see here in this purport, Prabhupada says that the Supreme Lord is always exalted in his activities, and here is another example of his wonderful influence upon King Chitraketu, his devotee. Just see, although you cursed the king, he was not at all afraid or sorry. So here, Mother Parvati cursed Chitraketu to become a demon, but Chitraketu Maharaj was not at all afraid or sorry for the curse. In fact, he took the curse as a mercy of the Supreme Lord. So this point is very nicely described in the Krishna book. So once there was a group of sages who assembled in the bank of the river Saraswati. So whenever the great sages assemble, they actually discuss about philosophical subject matters. So the topic of discussion was, who is the supreme amongst the three deities, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva? So the sages were confused about who is the Supreme Lord. So then they appointed Bhrigumuni to find out who is the Supreme Lord. Then Bhrigumuni first went to Lord Brahma, who is actually none other than his own father. So when a person meets the father, he is supposed to actually offer obeisances to the father. But he acted as if he neglected Lord Brahma. But immediately Lord Brahma became very angry. And he got insulted, but somehow he tolerated his anger by his mode of goodness. So then but it was very visible that Lord Brahma became angry. Then Bhrigumuni went to the abode of Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva is none other than Bhrigumuni's brother, because Lord Shiva was born from Lord Brahma. So then to Lord Shiva, as soon as Lord Shiva saw Bhrigumuni, he actually got up from his seat and then he came to embrace Bhrigumuni. Then Bhrigumuni said, you don't touch me. You are such an unclean person. You are always surrounded by ghosts and hobgoblins, and your body is smeared with ashes, etc. So how can you touch me? Don't touch me, like that he said. So Lord Shiva became very angry. He took up his trident and he was about to kill Bhrigumuni. So then somehow Mother Parvati pacified Bhrigumuni that he is your own brother, he is a great Brahmana, you should not actually commit violence to him. So then Lord Shiva became pacified. So then he went to the abode of Shvetadvip to meet Lord Shiva. And then he directly kicked at the chest of Lord Vishnu. So here we see Bhrigumuni committed only offense in the mental platform to Lord Brahma, but he committed with his mind and words to Lord Shiva. But with Lord Vishnu, he committed offense with his body, mind and words. He committed the highest offense against Lord Vishnu. But what was Lord Vishnu's response? So Lord Vishnu immediately got up from his seat. Then he said, "Oh, it is my great fortune that you have come to my abode. So please sit down on this cushion." And then he said, "I am very sorry that I was not able to receive you when you arrived at my abode. So please forgive me for my offense." And then he said, "Actually, Brahmanas like you are so pure that the water which has washed the lotus feet of Brahmanas like you, it can actually purify the abode, it can purify even the places of pilgrimage. So please purify my abode, Vaikuntha, where I live with my associates." And then he said that actually your feet are soft like a lotus flower, but my chest is so hard like a thunderbolt. So I must have certainly caused great pain, because when you touch by the touch of your lotus feet upon my chest, which is like thunderbolt. So please let me touch your lotus feet." And then Lord Vishnu started massaging the lotus feet of Bhrigumuni. So Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, says that small lamps are agitated even by a slight breeze, but a greatest illuminating source like sun, it cannot be agitated even by a great hurricane. So then he writes this famous statement that greatness of a person has to be estimated by his ability to tolerate provoking situations. So the real influence of the Lord, then he says that Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, they themselves could not maintain their peace and tranquility when Bhrigumuni offended them. Then how can they maintain the peace and tranquility of their devotees who worship them? So we see here the real influence of the Lord upon his devotees, that a devotee is able to tolerate provoking situations when it happens in his life. So that is why in the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that one of the first instruction Krishna says is, "Dehi nosmi nyata dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tata dehantara praptir dhiras tatra namuhyati." He says that just like happiness and distress come, just like in summer and winter season, like heat and cold come, similarly happiness and distress will come. So just try to tolerate this. So this is the first instruction which Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada, whenever devotees would complain about other devotees, Prabhupada would not tolerate. So once one devotee went and told Prabhupada, said that Japanese and Germans, they have lost the World War II, but now it seems that they are taking over ISKCON. So this devotee was complaining about other two devotees. One devotee was from German, another devotee was a Japanese. So then Prabhupada said, "Why are you so concerned with what this man does and what that man does? Your relation is with your guru. It does not matter what this person does or that person does. If you have simply faith in the guru, then everything will be revealed to you." So we see that Prabhupada would never tolerate devotee is complaining about others. And another point which we see in this episode is that when Chitraketu Maharaj first laughed at Lord Shiva, so Mother Parvati took it as an offense. But then when she cursed, and then when she heard the response of Chitraketu Maharaj, Mother Parvati, Lord Shiva and everyone was completely astonished. Then they could actually understand the greatness of Chitraketu Maharaj. So a devotee sometimes is seemingly perform certain activity which may look like very ordinary, but when we see the complete life of a devotee, then we actually get the whole picture of the how great the devotee is. So we see this instance in Srila Prabhupada also, Prabhupada's pastimes. So sometimes, once when Prabhupada went to Australia, the reporter came in the airport. He asked that, I see, Swamiji, I heard that you are going to be driven by a Rolls Royce. Then Prabhupada said, so what is so great about it? Krishna rides actually in the golden chariot. So what is this Rolls Royce? It is just some tin, rubber, etc. But it is nothing. It is not sufficient. So the reporter was completely flabbergasted. He became silent. But a normal person, when he sees this Prabhupada's response, like he may become bewildered. What kind of a sadhu is? He says that even the Rolls Royce is not sufficient. But then when Prabhupada went to the temple, then the devotees took him to one house where Prabhupada was supposed to stay. So it was actually a modest house. And Prabhupada went there. So Prabhupada said, such a huge house, how many families stay here? Then devotees say that this devotee is staying in this house. So such a huge house for one family. So all this is for me. So Prabhupada was like showing different aspect of his personality. He was saying that, oh, such a huge house just for me. And then the next year when Prabhupada went to Melbourne, they opened a new temple and then they built a new quarters for Prabhupada. So then the Madhudusha Prabhu, he took Prabhupada to his quarters. Then he showed his quarters. Prabhupada said, all this is for my, oh, such a huge place. And Prabhupada said, then Madhudusha Prabhu said, this is your bedroom. Prabhupada said, oh, I also have a bedroom. So when we see pure devotee, sometimes he sees, oh, even a Rolls Royce is not enough for me. Sometimes he says, oh, such great facilities for such an insignificant person like me. So, but a materialistic person, he may generally portray a certain type of mood and attitude and live on that same level without any other sides to that level. But a pure devotee has different aspects to his personality. So sometimes he says that, oh, it's not enough for me. And sometimes he says, oh, so much facility for me. So one has to see the full aspects of the devotee. Then one has to make a judgment. So if one, on the other hand, so when Mother Parvati just saw one, first aspect of Chitraketu Maharaj, then he became angry and she cursed Chitraketu Maharaj. But when she heard the response of Chitraketu Maharaj, they were completely astonished. So once Upendra Prabhu, when he first went, when he was first introduced to ISKCON, he just got a leaflet saying that such and such program, stay high forever. Like that he got a leaflet. Then he went to the 26 Second Avenue. There he went there and then he saw one photo of Srila Prabhupada, which was actually his passport photo. When he saw in the leaflet that A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami is giving lecture and Bhagavad Gita. So when he saw the leaflet, oh, Swami means he was imagining that, oh, somebody with a beard, etc. But then when he went there, he saw the photo. That photo, in that photo, Prabhupada was looking very severe. He was having a very stern look. So when he saw that photo, he became scared by seeing that photo. And later, when he heard that one devotee actually asked Prabhupada that you don't look happy in this photo, like that Prabhupada, the devotee asked Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, actually, that is the most ecstatic moment in my life because that photo was taken when I was going for my passport. because I was trying to fulfill the instruction of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So that was the most ecstatic moment in my life. So ordinarily when a person sees a pure devotee, that he does not get the whole picture. But one has to actually hear from a pure devotee or see the full life of a pure devotee, then one gets the full picture of a pure devotee. So here, Lord Shiva is saying that I can impartially judge that this devotee Chitraketu has defeated you and your excellence simply by becoming a pure devotee of the Lord. So when a person surrenders to the Supreme Lord, he excels everyone. So this aspect is very nicely explained by Lord Brahma in response to Lord Narada Muni's questions. So Lord Brahma describes about how the surrender to the Supreme Lord is such a glorious process. He says, Nabharati menga mrishopalakshyate navai kvachin me manaso mrishagatihi name rishikan patantya satpate yanme hridautkantya vatadrito harihi. Lord Brahma says, O Narada, because I have caught hold of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari with great zeal, whatever I say has never proved to have been false, nor is the progress of my mind has ever deterred, nor are my senses ever degraded by temporary attachment to matter. So he says that because I have taken shelter of the Supreme Lord, by my body, mind and words, they have never degraded. So Prabhupada quotes this famous verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Says, the Krishna says in the Gita, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhaktaha pranashyati. He says that, O Arjuna, please declare that my devotee never perishes. So why is Krishna asking Arjuna to declare? Because sometimes the actions of Krishna may seem contradictory to mundane persons. So, but the words of a devotee are never contradictory. They never prove to be false. So similarly, when a person takes shelter of the Supreme Lord, the progress of his mind never becomes deterred. So because here Chitraketu Maharaj took shelter of the Supreme Lord, although he was cursed, but he mildly tolerated the curse and he was not at all affected by the curse. And then, so we see this aspect, how a devotee's words never prove to be false in Srila Prabhupada's case. So one devotee recalls that how once Mr. Shethi, once he met with a car accident, and he was advised by the doctor to wear a brace in his neck. So he came and met Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, so you don't need this brace, you can just take this off. But the doctor told him to wear it for 6 months. Then Mr. Shethi was completely confused. On the basis of Prabhupada, he just took off the brace and then he did not need at all. And then once Mr. Shethi came to Prabhupada that I have to go to visit my father, because I received a telegram from my home that my father is very sick, that I must come immediately to my home. Prabhupada said, no, your father is not sick. When you go home, your father will receive you at the bus station. But he went to his home, and surprisingly, the father came and received at the bus station. He was completely fit. Then once Mr. Yan's wife, he met Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, why is your husband so greedy after money? And Prabhupada said, he does not have much, he has only few days to live. And then true to the words of Prabhupada, he died within 3 days due to a heart attack. So when a pure devotee speaks, his words actually never prove to be false because he takes shelter of the Supreme Lord. And then Lord Brahma further glorifies the surrendering process. He says, what are the benefits of the surrendering process? He says, Natosmyakham taj charanam samiyusham bhavachidam swastyayanam sumangalam yohyatma maya vibhavam smapariyagat यता नभस्वान्तम् अतापरे कुतः. दैट ब्रह्मा सेज देयरफॉर इट इज बेस्ट फॉर मी टू सरेंडर अनटू हिज फीट विच अलोन कैन डिलीवर वन फ्रॉम द रिपीटेड बर्थ एंड डेथ. सच सरेंडर इज ऑस्पिशियस एंड अलोस वन टू परसीव ऑल हैप्पीनेस. एंड वॉट काइंड ऑफ हैप्पीनेस वन विल गेट? Even the sky cannot estimate its own expansion. So what can others do when Lord Himself is unable to estimate His own limits? So Prabhupada writes a very beautiful purport about why one should surrender to the Supreme Lord. He says that a young man actually consults his experienced father about discharging his duties. Because it may not apply in the present age, but that is the general truth. So the father is naturally a good advisor to the young son. Here Lord Brahma is the father of all fathers. He is the father of even Manu. So here Lord Brahma is advising to Narada that one should surrender unto the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada says that therefore the men of this insignificant planet should kindly accept the instruction of Brahmaji and would do well to surrender into the lotus feet of the Lord rather than try to estimate the length and breadth of the universe with their tiny brain. Then Prabhupada says that scientists, they try to measure they think that they are the lords of all they survey, and they try to estimate the length and breadth of the whole universe. And then, in fact, the scientists say that to reach the highest planet of the universe, it will take 40,000 years to reach the highest planet with their Sputnik. But even if they reach the highest planet and when they return, they will not have, first of all, one cannot live for 40,000 years. And then even if they return, they will not have their friends to glorify them as the greatest astronaut, which is like fashion in this modern day age. So Prabhupada says one should just give up this attitude of measuring the length and breadth of the universe and simply surrender unto the Supreme Lord. And then he says that anyone who denies this surrendering process, he is also forced to surrender. Even if a person denies the surrendering process, he will be forced by the Supreme Lord to surrender unto the material nature. So one cannot actually escape surrender. And then Prabhupada says, what are the benefits of this surrender? It is said the surrendering process itself is bhavachidam, freed liberation from all material miseries, from birth and death. And it itself will give all happiness, and ultimately it is the source of everything auspicious. And what kind of happiness one will get? One will get unlimited happiness simply by surrendering to Krishna. So then he says, then Lord Brahma gives the analogy of sky. The sky actually, one cannot estimate the limits of the sky. Actually, similarly, just to give an idea of how much happiness one will get, he gives an analogy of the sky. Actually, one will get unlimited happiness which cannot be even compared to the limits of the sky. One will get such amount of happiness which cannot be estimated even by the Supreme Lord. So then Prabhupada says in the purport that one may ask that if the even Lord cannot estimate the spiritual happiness, then what kind of Lord he is? He may be an imperfect Lord. So then Prabhupada says that the happiness derived from the Lord may be measured by the Lord, but the happiness increases again. And then Lord measures it again, and again the happiness increases. So in this way, there is an eternal competition between the measurement and increment and measurement, so much so that the competition is never stopped, but goes on unlimitedly ad infinitum. So then finally, here Prabhupada writes in the purport, this is the excellence of a devotee. Indirectly, Lord Shiva forbade Parvati to commit the mistake of cursing a devotee like Chitraketu. But he indicated that although she was powerful, the king, without showing any power, had excelled her power by his tolerance. So just to give a brief outline of today's this thing. First we saw how the people in this world are attracted towards the beauty, but greater than beauty is the Krishna conscious of a person. When a person is Krishna conscious, it attracts attention of everyone. We saw like how even Prabhupada was not speaking, but it attracted the attention of a disciple. And then we gave the example of how the ladies of Hastinapur, although they were glorifying Supreme Lord in their simple language, but their talks were more attractive than the Vedic hymns chanted by the Brahmanas. Then we saw that how one has to approach the pure devotee before actually one approaches the Supreme Lord. How a person who has never taken the dust of the pure devotee is considered to be a dead body. Then we saw the example of Raghugun and Jadabharat. And then we narrated the pastime of Bhrigumuni offending Lord Vishnu, but Lord Vishnu tolerated even the greatest offense committed by Bhrigumuni. So that Prabhupada makes a statement that greatness of a person has to be estimated by his ability to tolerate provoking situations. So then only there are different aspects of a pure devotee. If one just simply sees one aspect of a pure devotee, then one may get bewildered. So one has to see the different aspects of devotees before actually making any comment upon the devotees. And we saw from the example of Lord Brahma's instruction that how surrender to the Supreme Lord, actually it gives great power to the person that one's body, mind and words never become deterred. So we'll stop here. Since it's already time, we'll finish it. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.